Why do we always have to go out and seek people and tell them about the Lord? Because, my friend, that's the nature of Christ. That's the nature of Christianity. It is not the nature of the average guy you work with to say, I want to know God. I want to know God more. I want to give my life to God. I want Jesus as my Savior.
Hello, this is Pastor Paul Chappell here on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church. I want to thank you for joining us for our podcast today. And it's my prayer that the teaching and preaching from the Word of God will encourage and challenge you to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. May God richly bless you as you open your heart now to the Word of God.
Tonight we're going to look at a moment in the life of the great soul winner, the greatest example we could ever follow, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus had a great burden to see the world come to the saving knowledge that only He could give. And He had such a great burden that He gave His only life. He shed His blood in order that we might be saved. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Tonight we see a religious man approaching the Lord, and I want you to learn about this matter of helping other people to know how to be saved from this story between Jesus and Nicodemus. Notice, if you would, it is, to begin with, a curiosity. We see Nicodemus coming to the Lord. We have studied this before. He comes by night, perhaps because of fear, peer pressure, concerned of what others would think. He comes to see the Lord Jesus, no doubt because of the miracles, because of the fact that Jesus had a reputation for doing great and mighty things. Nicodemus was a curious man. I do not believe that Nicodemus was necessarily seeking what he was going to get this night. I believe many people followed Jesus initially for curiosity's sake. And by the way, it doesn't really matter what they get around for, as long as when they get around us, they meet Him. And it was a curious man that came to Jesus this night. His name was Nicodemus. You know, men do not seek God. The Scriptures tell us that. Sometimes we hear the term, that person is a seeker. And I understand there's a place, perhaps, for that connotation. But when I read the Bible, it tells me that men in general are not just going around seeking God. That's not their nature. The Bible says in Romans 3:11, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Men are not seeking God. Someone says, Pastor, why do you every year preach about going and going and getting a partner? Why do you encourage us to get a partner and get a time and go to a place? Why do we always have to go out and seek people and tell them about the Lord? Because, my friend, that's the nature of Christ. That's the nature of Christianity. It is not the nature of the average guy you work with to say, I want to know God. I want to know God more. I want to give my life to God. I want Jesus as my Savior. Men are not seeking. We must have the heart of Jesus to go out and to seek. Men do have a knowledge of God. There's no question about that. Men have a knowledge of God. God has placed in the heart of every man an understanding of himself. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. They have an understanding that there is God. And many men have spirituality and religiosity, but they do not have a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we must recognize, as this curious man came, that men do not necessarily seek God. They do not necessarily have a great desire for salvation. This is why the Lord Jesus came. But men do have a knowledge of God. And we as soul winners can take that curiosity and the fact that there's a knowledge of a higher being, and we can begin to direct them in the power of the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God to knowing God. Even though they may not be seeking God, we can, as soul winners, help them to find a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the third thought here is that God's Holy Spirit prepares hearts. How many of you believe that tonight? By the way, how many of you know that in the sense we understand Proverbs 11:30, he that winneth souls is wise, and every one of us should be soul conscious and care for the lost. But how many of you know that scripturally the Holy Spirit of God is the soul winner? The work of being born again that we're looking at tonight is called regeneration. It is the inner work of the Holy Spirit to change someone from the inside out. This church cannot save anyone. We're not going out to save anyone, but we're going out to share the good news with them, and faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ brings salvation, and they're born again from the inside out. And God's Holy Spirit is working and preparing people and convicting people about the presence of God and a need for God. They're not looking for it. They're not looking for Him. But God is showing them and pricking their hearts along the way. I love what Paul said in Acts 20:22. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide in me. Paul said, now I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I don't know exactly what's going to happen there, but this is what I know. The Holy Spirit is witnessing in every city. Now, I don't know about you, I get real encouraged by that. The fact that there's a whole bunch of sinners in Lancaster, there's a bunch of guys tonight that have no thought of God, they got a Budweiser in their hand and a channel remote channel in the other hand and ESPN going and all this stuff, and there's a whole bunch of young people that are out on the streets walking around tonight. They are not looking for God. How many of you understand that? But God is looking for them. And the Holy Spirit is witnessing in every city. And I don't know about you, I want to find that guy Saturday when I go out next, or Friday whenever I get out next. I want to find that guy tomorrow, if the Lord will let me. I want to find that guy the Holy Spirit's been witnessing to lately. And I don't know how the Holy Spirit's been doing that. Maybe a mother that saved in Ohio who wrote him a letter recently, or maybe a blurb of something he heard on the radio, or maybe one of you that works with him, and it's just been in him, and there's something that's been working on him, because the Holy Spirit does the work and is doing the work, and we want to enter into the labor of God. Now, when it comes to making these major decisions in life, I believe that there are times when the work of the Holy Spirit to soften hearts sometimes is accelerated. Many times people do not change until they hurt enough that they have to, or until they learn enough that they want to, or until they receive enough that they are able to. In other words, people go through times of hurting, learning, and receiving. They go through times of transition. They go through times of trial and trauma. And sometimes through those seasons of life, though they weren't looking for God, the Holy Spirit begins to speak to their heart, and an obedient Christian who heard in the Bible go, who read that Jesus said, as the Father hath sent me, so send I you. And they didn't put that off in the third person, and they didn't delegate that out to the church staff, but they personalized the Bible, and they went out, and this person going through this time of hurt has been thinking about the fact that there is a God, and other people get help somehow. And they're aware of their need, at least. They may not be seeking God, but through their trial, they've become aware of their need. And all of a sudden, and my friends, it happens every single year during this time of year that many of our members will knock on the door, or will meet someone or give someone a tract, and the Holy Spirit has been witnessing to that person. And you enter into their labors. And Dr. Getch is preaching a revival this week in Las Vegas. And so we've had three staff meetings, Dr. Getch and I, this week. They've all been about 3 minutes each. And after his class, he'll jump in with me and we'll cover a few things we need to cover. And he has to get in the car by 1 o'clock. He's been driving to Las Vegas, preaching there, leaving the church there and driving back here, getting home at who knows what time. And then preaching and teaching in college and doing his duties, and then driving back over there. Dr. Rasmussen says he's half man and half machine. By the way, how many of you say, I'll pray for him to have a safe trip home tonight? Amen. Pray they'll have a safe trip home. One time he said he thanked the Lord for a toothache he got so he could stay awake. Let's pray he stays awake without a toothache. Amen? But I was talking with Brother Getz today, and he said, Pastor, I was over in this same church in the year 2000 conducting this similar revival meeting. And he said that God worked that year, and he said there was a gentleman that was saved as a contractor there in Vegas, and he said it was wonderful. And he said 2 years later I was preaching there, not in the same church, but in the same city at another church, and that same man brought his wife, and they came every night to the revival meeting, and his wife got saved in 2002. And he said it was such a blessing. He said a few days ago as the meeting began, he said, the man came to me with his wife, and there they were 9 years later, still being faithful in church. By the way, isn't that a blessing? That's one of the things, just being in your place when our missionaries come in a few weeks will encourage them more than you know. And he said it was a blessing. And he said, the man came up to me, and he said, Brother Getch, he said, remember us? And Brother Getch said, I sure do. And he said, Brother Getch, he said, about a month ago, our six-year-old boy was killed in an ATV accident. He was killed. And he said, Brother Getch, he said, I was struggling with that greatly. He was upset about it, obviously. And he said, I know the Lord doesn't do it like this, but he said, it was like one night the Lord took me by the face and turned my face to him and said, you know I gave my son. And Brother Getz said, the man began to weep. He said, Pastor, that man has had no fewer than 20 visitors every night of this revival meeting. He said, one of his concrete workers last night with dreadlocks down the middle of his back at the very beginning of the invitation came and said, I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. I don't know what event God might use in your heart to soften you. I don't know what event God's using in the heart of some unsaved man tonight to get him ready. I just know that God's in the getting ready business and God's in the getting saved business, and I just want to be a part of God's program. I'm not getting anyone saved, but I can witness and tell them how to be saved. And you see, God can take a hurting man or a curious man and a soul winner to throw the seed in that heart, and wonderful things can happen. It began with a curiosity. And then notice, secondly, there is a confrontation. Now, we have seen over the last 20 years so many different philosophies for evangelism that are unbiblical, really. We understand that some sow and some water and others reap. We understand that. But I'm going to tell you right now, no one in here was ever saved unless somebody opened up the Word of God and confronted you with the fact that you were a sinner in need of a Savior. No one gets saved unless you kind of get in the road for a minute and say, hey, can I have 5 minutes of your time? I want to talk to you about one of the most important things you could ever consider. Can I just have a few minutes of your time? No one gets saved unless someone's willing to ask for that moment. And yes, it's awkward, and yes, it's somewhat confrontational. It doesn't have to be unkind. It doesn't have to be ill-mannered, but it's always going to be a confrontation. Not in the sense of an argument necessarily, because again, men do not seek God. God seeks men. And so Jesus says to this curious fellow, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now here's a man who'd memorized thousands of verses. Here's a man who'd memorized thousands of precepts that weren't even in the Bible. And Jesus is telling him he doesn't have a whole lot of hope of going to the kingdom of God unless he is born again. And of course, he doesn't understand that. Nicodemus says in verse 4, what does a man do? Does he enter into his mother's womb when he is old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Now friend, let's mark it down plain and simple tonight. Men must be born again. If men and women and boys and girls will see heaven, they must be born again. And Jesus said this to a religious man. The religious status of a man does not determine whether or not he's saved. We have so many pluralistic philosophers in the world today, and you know, it doesn't really matter what you mean, what you believe, all roads will get you to heaven if you're just really, really sincere. You know, that's wonderful philosophy. It's just terrible theology. It's not what Jesus said to Nicodemus. He didn't say, well, you do it your way, I'll do it my way, we'll meet you at the top. He said, you must be born again. Now, being born again is the act of the Holy Spirit. Being born is to be generated. Being born again from another place, from a higher place. To be born from above, then, is the spiritual birth that Jesus spoke about. And the spiritual birth was what Nicodemus needed. He had been born of water, but he had not been born of the Spirit. He had had a physical birth, but not that part which is the hidden heart of the man, the unseen part that only the Holy Spirit can touch and change and renew from the inside. And 1 Corinthians 15 speaks of this. It says, if you turn there to 1 Corinthians 15, 44, speaking of this new birth, it says, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. In other words, first comes the natural, then comes the spiritual. First is the Adamic nature, the fleshly nature. We are born of the water. Then comes the spiritual through Christ. One is born again. And so we're born again through the Spirit. May I say, secondly, we're born again through the Word of God. No one ever gets saved without hearing the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why in the Wednesday night class, Brother Furso is going to teach you which verses to share with someone. That's someone that the Holy Spirit is witnessing to them. That's someone that you meet along the way in these upcoming weeks. We want to share with that someone in that cultivated heart, if you will, the seed of the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that's why we must hide the Scriptures in our heart. That's why we have these training times, that we might be equipped to do the work of the ministry. And we're saved because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We're saved because of the Word of God. Of course, we're saved because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what we share with these men and women who need Christ. So the confrontation, you must be born again. Secondly, we must bear in mind, as we consider this confrontation, that all men have an eternal destiny. If you and I would just pray in these next several weeks, Lord, help me to remember that every person I meet will spend eternity in one of two places. You know, sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we need to just pray for a greater burden for souls. Brother Navarrete and those in our Spanish department are knocking on many doors this week. They got an early start. They're praying for 1,000 in church this Sunday morning. You pray for them. Brother Navarrete personally knocked on 450 doors this week so far. They have a special guest coming in. Their desire is that Spanish-speaking people would spend eternity in heaven. That they would know Christ and have an eternal home in heaven. Notice the phrase there, the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom of God. You see, when Jesus came to Israel, they were looking for deliverance from Rome. That's what they wanted Jesus to do. They wanted Jesus to set them free politically. And amazingly, Jesus didn't speak about that. He spoke about the kingdom of God. And this is the kingdom of heaven, the literal physical rule that David would bring, that the Jewish mind would understand. And so the Lord Jesus promised that he would help them not only to know the Jewish kingdom, but the everlasting kingdom, everlasting life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here we see a man with some curiosity, and that's okay. And we may have some folks come to church for a chili cook-off. We may have some folks come to church to see a missionary from Japan. How many of you would agree with me? We don't care why they come, as long as they hear about Jesus when they get here. You might tell them, I've got the nuttiest pastor you've never seen, such a weird pastor. You might say, I mean, don't make it too bad. I mean, if you've got, I mean, I don't care what you might say. We have great music. You might say, but the curiosity brought him. And I pray that above all else, people would be curious to say, I don't know what's going on at that Lancaster Baptist Church, but I see a full parking lot every Sunday. I see a lot of new buildings go up. I see those buses everywhere. How many think it'd be okay if some sinners got curious about what's going on? and come and hear the Lord Jesus Christ proclaim. There's a curiosity, there's a confrontation. Notice thirdly, there's a conversion. There's a conversion. Verse 6, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. John 1, 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, it's interesting. You read John 3, and you're kind of reading and going, okay, where does he say the sinner's prayer? And he doesn't say the sinner's prayer. And how many of you know that that doesn't necessarily mean he didn't get saved? You keep reading in the New Testament, and you kind of like, whatever happened to old Nicodemus here? Where's Nicodemus? And you know, it's fun to turn over to John 19. Let me show you Nicodemus and some of the fruit of his conversion. And this is exciting. John 19, verse 38. Because we believe when people get saved, they need to get baptized. Amen? And after they get baptized, and they need to have a place to grow and be discipled and hear preaching. And it's good when you read, and they continued. And it's good when people grow. And notice in John 19, 38, and after this, Joseph of Arimathea, speaking of the time when Jesus was crucified, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for the fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. And there came also, what's the next word, please? Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with spices, as the manner of Jews is to bury. I don't read into this. There's a lot of people whose conversion stories I've read in chapter 3, but they weren't around in chapter 19. And it's good to have a conversion story. Don't misunderstand me, but how many of you would agree that, boy, Nicodemus was there when it counted? Nicodemus gave a lavish, some have said, a one-year salary offering in this ointment that was used to wrap the swaddling clothes around our Savior. He identified with believers. Don't think I'm being overly simple to say that one of the indications, and I cannot say who is saved and who is not saved, but one of the indications that you are a believer tonight is the fact that in the midweek, you're taking some time to identify with believers. Because Christians like to get together with other Christians. And how many of you think it might be really cool if somebody that you knocked on their door, or you gave them a tract, or you wrote their name down and kind of stayed in touch with them, and come January for our winter revival with Brother Getch, that someone made it to chapter 7 with you. And they're kind of hanging around, you see. He identified with believers. Notice, secondly, he gave to the Lord. Did you catch that? Verse 39, he brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes. Nicodemus contributed as a devoted follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just simply saying there was fruit, that evidence that this man had his life changed through his relationship with Jesus Christ. And the Bible is clear that we must be born again. And God took a curious man and gave him a confrontation with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he realized that there was a spiritual birth and that there was an eternal kingdom, he received the news and the message and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and his life was completely changed. He was born again. Now, I want you to think as we close tonight about that term, born again. Would you say it with me? Born again. One more time. Born again. Someone says, you're one of those born againers? Say, yes, I am. Born again. Born again the Bible way. And I want you to think about born again in light of the fact that in America and around the world today, there is a declining spiritual birth rate. There's way more people being born than there are being born again. And yet Jesus says to all people, you must be born again. I want you to think, if you would, about the birth rate for just a moment. According to research, in order for a culture to really maintain itself for more than about 25 years, there must be a fertility rate of 2.1 children per family. Okay. With anything less than 2.1 children per family, any culture, be it America, Italy, China, any culture will decline over the period of 25 years. For instance, if parents each had one child, there would be half as many people, and eventually the culture or the population would fall into a declining state. Now, across the European Union tonight, for example, in 31 of the countries there in the European Union, the fertility rate at this particular moment is 1.38. The average family has 1.38 children. And as the population shrinks, so does the civilization, so does the culture. And historical research tells us these numbers are impossible to reverse once you get into that 25-year decline. In a matter of years, listen very carefully, this is proven many different websites, in a matter of years, Europe, as it has been known for hundreds and hundreds of years, will cease to exist. But strangely, the population in Europe is not declining. The population in Europe, in fact, is growing. Someone might say, well, why? One reason, Islamic immigration. By the way, the only reason America is not declining is because of Hispanic immigration, as far as the birth rate. That's why we need to reach Spanish-speaking America as quickly as we can. Islamic immigration, of all the population growth in Europe since 1990, 90% has been Islamic immigration. 90% of the population growth. Now stop and think about the birth rate, if you will, or the lack thereof. Let me give you this illustration. France has 1.8 children per family. That's their birth rate. While the Muslims in Europe, on average, have 8.1 children per family. That's why there are now more mosques than churches in France. And that is partly why France was not a better ally to us when we went into Iraq. Just a side note, but it's a good little side note. 30% of European children under age 20 are Islamic. By the year 2050, Europe, without war, will be an Islamic republic. How many of you are just pondering the fact that birth rate is a significant issue? But think about something else. While the number of Christians in the U.S. has dropped by 11.6% since 1990, the number of Muslims has increased by 100%. You say, well, we're going to be fine way past 2050, probably, in that particular arena, but listen very carefully. My concern tonight, even more than the birth rate of one people group to another people group, is how are we doing in the new birth rate? Because in America right now, counting immigration and births, we are not winning enough people to keep up with the growth rate of our own country. Church attendance is on the decline while the population is rising. And I'm simply saying tonight, and I will say this every place I go, and it needs to be heard in practice, that the only hope for America is not a Republican president. It's not some kind of reform. And though there may be lots of reforms that many of us would like to see, the great hope for America is reaching people with the gospel one person at a time. Republicans, Democrats, Independents, Muslims, Catholics, whatever the case might be, the only hope is that we would come back to that place where we are willing to find the curious and the hurting and those that are without the Holy Spirit speaking to them and confront them with their need for the Lord Jesus Christ. You study the Bible, you read the news, you see a slide presentation like this tonight, and if you're thinking at all, we don't have several generations to get this done. There's not enough time, husbands and wives, for you to be bickering. You need to be united in serving Jesus Christ while you can. There's not enough time to be jumping around from city to city and place to place and just fooling around with all of our trivial pursuits. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time to do the work of God. And what I believe this church needs to be most concerned about tonight is the spiritual birth rate in America. How many people were born again today because of this church and other churches like it taking the gospel out to religious people like Nicodemus and people with dreadlocks like the man in Las Vegas last night? Because the blood of Jesus cleanses all sin for anyone that will believe. Let's pray. Father in heaven,
thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.